So today we're doing the third installment, and today's installment we'll be looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So under this we'll look at the life of Peter just very briefly, which we did in a lot of detail about two Sundays ago. We'll look at what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll look at what Jesus said about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with some examples of people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the Bible and what happened to them. And we'll look at what the prerequisites are in terms of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we'll look at how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And today, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and it's something that you desire, when we finish today, we will pray. And whoever wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit will receive in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm so confident because I've seen so many people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I'll try and do is make it really simple. You guys know by now that I'm not a complicated guy. I like to preach in a way that, you know, our young ones can understand. So probably they might also be filled with the Holy Spirit today. Now, before I start, why am I talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning? Apart from the fact that it's part of our series, this was something that before I became a Christian, it really used to amaze me, not in a good way. I remember when I was in uni, I wasn't born again then. I became a Christian much later. I had friends who were Christians and on the student campus I was on, there were a lot of Christian fellowships there. And some of my older sisters were also Christians. And when I mean Christian, I'm talking about your Pentecostal Christians, evangelical, not like just the main denominational one that are not really into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So these guys were really into it. And what used to amaze me was the fact that, or what actually put me off then from going to the meetings was that I said, you know, I'm not coming to your meetings, man. All these strange behaviors you guys do, speaking in tongues and all that. None of that for me, please. And I just really couldn't understand it. And I just thought, you know, this is really weird. So I just put it off. Then something happened to me. I became born again in 1996, August. And, you know, God just really touched my heart. And I just said, you know what, this is it. So when I became born again, the church that we're in now, then, it was in another region of the world. Where it's sunny. Hello. I love it. Where it's sunny. It's never cold. And we, you know, they said, okay, now you're a Christian. We're going to do like a 4-week thing after the service where we'll tell you about the faith. I said, that sounds great. I attended. And on the 4th week, then I said, okay, today we're going to do the baptism of the Holy Spirit and we will pray. Anyone who wants to receive baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, just. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is really strange. And the questions I had was, would it happen? What's this? You know, and my heart was racing, you know, and they just said, okay, you know what? It's a good thing they didn't tell us beforehand. So they just showed us the scripture. We prayed. And to my amazement, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I was speaking in tongues. And I was so thrilled. The reason why I was thrilled was this. Previously, I'd said, you know what, those guys are just faking it, man. They're just saying whatever they want to say to you, you know. But this time, it was me. So I was like, driving back from church that day, I was just speaking. I said, this is really strange. And my life hasn't been the same since then. The baptism of the Holy Spirit has made such a tremendous change in my life since I became a Christian that without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'll be where I am now. Not that I've arrived, but it has helped me so much. So that's my background. Now, we just want to take a quick look at the life of Peter in the Bible. Very briefly, we looked at it in great detail before. So let's turn to, what I'll do is before and after. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 to 34. So I wanted to show us something in the life of Peter, and this is what I call before and after. Now, the story is this. Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter said, you know what? Impossible. If everyone denies you, I will be by your side. And he was really sincere. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times that you know me. In the mind of Peter, it was like, this is impossible. I think the example I gave was when we did it two Sundays ago. I said, imagine if someone came to you guys and said, to you guys, something is going to happen and you guys would deny me and all that. You'd be like, no, Pastor, we'll be with you, Pastor. I'm sure that's what you guys would say. Then suddenly some armed men come into the room here with guns and black, you know, all, and they say, you know what? We don't want any problem here. We're not after you. We're not after anybody. All we're after is Pastor Benson. And no problem. Just walk out of this place. And they have guns cracked up. All masked. Why are you guys laughing? I'm sure you would say, oh no, Pastor, we're going to be... You know what would happen? Not to you guys. I know you guys would stick with me. You could panic. So let's see what happened to this to Peter. So the same Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. Luke chapter 22, 54 to 62. So something now happens here. Read that. Okay. Luke chapter 22, verse 54 to 62. All right, I'll carry on the story. So what happens is that Jesus is now arrested. And it says, then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. Now, if you go down, it got to the point that Peter denied Jesus so vigorously. The Bible says he began to curse. You know? He began saying, you know what? If this... He was so vigorous in denying Christ. Now, hang on. This is the same man that said a few chapters before that, I'm with you. But what happened? What happened was this. Although Peter was sincere, and in his heart at that time, he really would have put his life down for Christ. He really, in his heart, was prepared to do anything. I mean, this was the same guy that drew a sword out, ready to defend Jesus, but he threw that sword away and ran like the other people. Now, I want us to fast forward to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. No, sorry. Acts chapter 4, verse 5 to 10. Acts chapter 4, verse 5 to 10. Let's fast forward to Acts chapter 4, verse 5 to 10. I'll just... Sorry, let me just grab my Bible here so I can read it. Acts chapter 4, 5 to 10. It says... Acts chapter 4 verse 5. Okay, you got it in. The next day, the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. Mind you, these are the people that crucified Jesus Christ. Rulers and elders of people, we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed. Then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Now, this is Peter that denied Christ in front of a little girl. There were no soldiers there. Now, they've now brought Peter to the people who gave the order for Jesus to be crucified. The high priest, soldiers surrounded the place. These guys could snap their fingers and Peter and John would be dealt with. In fact, they flogged them mercilessly. And they put them there and said, by whose name have you preached? By whose name have you healed this man? If it was Peter previously, He probably would have said, you know what? I'm really sorry. I didn't really mean to do that. John? Or he would have said, you know what? Jesus? Peter, John, who is he? That would have been Peter. But now we see a man who said, you know what? Not only was this man healed by the name of Jesus, he said, you guys crucified him. Do you understand? He said, you guys crucified him and let it be known to you. He didn't say calmly. He didn't say, you know, like you guys, you know, English, you know, let it be known kindly. He said it vigorously. So that everybody will hear, so that they will know that, look, I mean what I'm saying. And he said, you crucified him and let it be known to you that it is by the name of Christ who you crucified that we preach. And the man, the people looked at him, they looked at them and said, hang on, this is a different guy. Do you understand what happened? The Bible gives us the key. Flip back to verse 5. Just flip, flip, flip. There was something that had happened to Peter. He said, okay, flip to the next one. This. It says, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Something had happened to Peter. Now, what happened to this Peter man? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus told the disciples, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So, when Peter, Jesus rose from the dead, he told them that, you guys, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were born again because Jesus had breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. So they were born again. But I said, you know what, guys? For you to be effective in what I'm sending you to do, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you turn to, you don't have to turn there, I'll just describe that. Fast forward to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. The Bible now tells us that the Holy Spirit came and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in tongues. So, what happened to Peter? He received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He became a new man. Do you understand? So what does this tell us? It tells us this, that as a Christian, you and I need to accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is a really controversial subject. Some people say, you know what? That stopped in the days of the apostles. Or some people say, you know what, I don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, no problem, you will still get to heaven. Do you understand? So we're not saying, if one hasn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. No, I'm not saying that. As long as you have believed in Christ, you are a Christian, even if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you will get to heaven. And God will hear you, God will help you along the way. But your life might not be as thank you, yeah. Your life, you guys are not Americans. If it was America, they would say, preach on, pastor. Preach on. I think the younger ones are catching on. So without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, you still make it in life as a Christian, fine, you'll know God, but I'll dare say that the level of strength that you have as a Christian, the level of boldness that you have, might not be where God wants it to be. I'm telling you, it might not be where God wants you to be. So God has said, Jesus said, you know what? There's something more. You're born again, no problem. There's something more that you need to be an effective Christian. There's something more you need so that you can have supernatural strength. Do you understand? What is it? He says, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, because of time, I'm going to skip through a lot of things here. I'll just give one example of people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 5. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 5. Now, what am I trying to do today? Just trying to, you know, show us from the Bible that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to everyone. It hasn't stopped with the times of the apostles, like some people will say. It's not reserved for any special person. It's not reserved for people who are, in quote, super spiritual. It's not reserved for people who maybe have been Christians for a long time only. It is reserved for every single child of God. If you got born again now, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit now. Do you understand? There's no time lag. Now, Paul the Apostle went to Ephesus and he met some people there. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So Paul's making a distinction here. He's not saying, guys, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you're not a Christian. He said, no. Since you became a Christian, since you became born again, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's the question that he asked. Let's flip to the other next verses. No, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? You guys nowadays, we are really fortunate. You can flip on the TV and you can hear about the Holy Spirit. In those days, there was no internet, no TV, no mobile phone. So if you got any information, it had to be live. So for them, they had no knowledge. They had been saved. They were doing what they were doing as Christians. They were excited. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, what's that? They said, no, we have not even heard that there's a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism to repentance. Next verse. He told the people to believe on the one that who was coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of Jesus. Next one. Verse 6. Okay. They were baptized in the name of Jesus, into the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So we see a scenario here where they were Christians, you know, they loved God, they were going about their business. Paul said, have you guys received the Holy Spirit? They said, no. And he explained to them, fine, you believed in Jesus, you are baptized. No problem. He now laid his hands on them and the Bible says the Holy Spirit came on them and they began to speak in tongues. Some of them, prophesied. Do you understand? So what am I saying here? I'm saying here that there is a different experience as a Christian that is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence is that you speak in tongues. Now, what are the prerequisites for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you have to fast 10 days? Do you have to be nice to your neighbor so that God can see you as... No, none of that. If you want to fast, no problem. But it is so simple and so easy. There is no prerequisite apart from that one is born again. Do you understand? That is the only prerequisite. And God wants us to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe he wants us to have a lot of things. He hasn't made it complicated at all. Do you understand? Very simple. Now, the next question is this. How does one receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? But before I talk about that, why would you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you're a scientific guy, you might have these questions, Pastor, I'm cool as I am. This super Pentecostalism is not my stuff at all. I'm just a cool Brit. I'm not an American. I want to remain cool. Why do I need it? Well, so many reasons. First, being baptized with the Holy Spirit empowers you to do certain things that ordinarily you would not be able to do. It is the Holy Spirit coming upon a man or a woman into your body and working through you. And there's so many things. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray sometimes. So there are times that when we're praying and we are not quite sure what we want to pray about. For example, someone might say, let's pray for someone in Jamaica or Martinique or somewhere. Some people are smiling when you start mentioning there. Let's pray for someone there. You might say, okay, yes, let's pray. And we raise a prayer and you pray, God, bless my mom in Martinique. Bless Pastor Benson as well. Yeah, don't forget that. In Jesus' name, amen. And you're done. 2 seconds. Do you understand? Why? Man, as far as you're concerned, you prayed everything. But there's a better way. Do you know that the Holy Spirit enabling you to pray in tongues, knows what is happening there. He will now give you the words to pray, and he will pray exactly what is happening there. It might be that your mom is there or your brother is there and they need something to happen. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will give you the words and you will pray specifically. That's why when we pray sometimes, you know, if you come to our prayer meetings here, it's not so English. I'm English, by the way, so I'm not, you know, taking the, you know. What I mean by that is that we pray in the Holy Spirit, we pray with the, and we pray loud as well sometimes. But during the service, we're cool. We just, you know, I mean, we just. So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Again, it is the doorway to the supernatural of God. You see, when the Holy Spirit, when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, God can work through you. Do you understand? God can speak through you. We'll look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit next week. God can do certain things through you. Do you understand? Through the Holy Spirit. So you become the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, laying hands on people the same way Jesus would lay hands on people, and the Holy Spirit will work through you. The Holy Spirit can show you things to come. Well, once you're a Christian, he shows you that. But he can manifest the gifts through you. Do you understand? So it's the doorway into the supernatural of God as well. So many things. Do you understand? I mean, I remember that the times that maybe I'm so tired, I don't even, and I just tell, and I just tell my wife, you know what? Normally when, if I'm tired sometimes, what I do, I'll just, you know, go to the kitchen, raid the pot. I'll say, you know what? I'm going to eat and just relax. And, you know, all those things, you know, I'll eat those of, why are you guys smiling? You guys don't do all that. You're too spiritual. Eat and all that and relax. But there are times that my strength is really gone. So it's not a matter of I need to, you know, eat my wife's good cooking. No. I need strength at that point. I've traveled all over the place. There are things I need to do. I need to, you know, read the Bible. I need to pray for all the people in church. You know, I'm sure you guys do the same for me as well. I need to do all that. And you know what? I'm just drained. I don't even know where to start. What do? I roll out of bed and I start walking around and I begin to pray in the Spirit. And I begin to pray. I begin to pray. I begin to pray. As I do that, something happens. It's as if something just, you know, charges me up. Yes, sister. Something just charges me up. And the Holy Spirit takes, you know, gives me the strength. And before I know it, I've regained strength again. Do you understand what I mean? To the point that the Holy Spirit can even show me certain things about you. Well, I don't want to make it sound a bit funny. About, you know, different people. Do you understand? That is the power that one gets from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, to end, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Three things. The first is that you want to believe that the Holy Spirit, you want to believe that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Very simply, it says about faith. Paraphrasing that, when we come to God, we must believe. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone that comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the first thing is that you must believe that God wants to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's not reserved for any special category of people. Do you understand? So that's the first thing. And what does faith talk about here? Just says, just trust that, you know what? God has said it and God will give me the Holy Spirit. Nothing extraordinary. The other thing is this, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. And he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So God is saying here, hang on, you give your children good gifts. Do you understand what I mean? How come, you know, you guys, it says being evil can do that. How much more God, our Heavenly Father? He says he will give the Holy Spirit to whoever asks. Do you understand? He didn't say whoever is anointed or whoever has, you know. No. Simple. Whoever asks. That's the second thing. Now, the last thing is this. You believe that God wants to give you the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're born again. You believe that if you ask him, He will give to you. Now, what happens? How do you now begin to, you know, how do you receive the Holy Spirit and begin to pray in tongues? Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And I'm going to just highlight this point because this is the point in my experience where a lot of people kind of like think it's slightly complicated, but this is so simple. So you believed and you've asked, and I now say, okay, let's pray that we receive the Holy Spirit. And we pray and say, God, your word says if we ask for the Holy Spirit, you give us the Holy Spirit. What next? What do you do next? This is it. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Pause. So this is what happens to a lot of people. Pause. You pray and you are filled with the Holy Spirit straight away. Sometimes you might feel a bit oozy, but generally speaking, it would seem as if nothing has happened. People stop here and they say, Pastor, I prayed. What's not? It's not happening. Do you know what's not happening? People feel that sometimes when you receive, you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit will grab you, open your mouth and say, speak, 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 speak. No, 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 no. Once you pray, you will receive the Holy Spirit straight away. I can guarantee you that. But there's something that's dependent on you. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled him. So who was speaking? Who speaks here? The Holy Spirit or you? The Holy Spirit or you? That's the trick. The Holy Spirit or you?
You speak.
So you are the one that speaks as the Holy Spirit enables you. So what that means is that you are the one that will open your mouth and speak. And the way it happens is this. When you, it's really simple. We pray, Holy Spirit comes on you. Don't pray in English. Just wait. And what you will hear is, you will hear this funny, not funny. You might hear like a chatter in your mind, like, blah, 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 something. What you need to do is you need to speak. If it's blah, 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 whatever, it might sound, oh my goodness, this is like really interesting. Speak. As you open your mouth in faith and speak, the Holy Spirit just kicks in. Do you understand what I mean? Very simple. Why are you guys smiling? It's just how it happened to me. It's simple. It's not as complicated as that. So because of our time, let's rise up this morning and we'll pray.